tell you the overview of these calls. This is really the promo clobber A-team calls. I'll tell you where the A-team name came from is when Jonathan Mizell Declan and I were on the road, we did about 120 seminars in a year and a half, and they had another team that had really been in another business that they had was the 900 number team. They really weren't internet marketing guys. And so we traveled around and did seminars, but we trained the other team. So we always called them the B team and we were the A team. And the reason is because we knew the internet marketing and they were really the 900 number guys that were now doing the internet marketing seminars. So that's where really the name A team came from. I don't know if I can release that publicly, but I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, I have an email that you can email questions to if you have some questions about what you've seen in the promo dashboard or a question you want to ask me. It's sometimes it's easier over the phone, but sometimes we get background noise and feedback and I have to mute out the call. So if that happens, you can just send the email to tellmarlon, TellMarlon, tellmarlon@yahoo.com. tellmarlon@yahoo.com. And I'll try to get your questions answered today. Before we start up, let's go ahead and just see at the outset if anyone has questions. Does anyone have a question about what you've covered so far on the promo dashboard that you would like to ask before we get started? Any questions, problems, or issues? All right. Okay. Well, then let's go ahead and get started. The focus of my call today is really just what it takes for you, ladies and gentlemen, guys and gals, to get your promos running. I'm going to assume that you have a product to market or sell. If you don't, then I highly recommend Product Dashboard, because that is what the Product Dashboard will help you with, is getting your product up, running, and selling. So I assume you have that. Now let's talk about what I like to do, and I can, on other calls, I'll try to become more detailed. Because, you know, sometimes the devil is in the details, and I recognize that. At the same time, I think there's really a lot of power in simplicity. And just being real clear on your strategy, real clear on what it takes to make money in the business. So we'll talk about outside of internet marketing, and we'll talk about inside of internet marketing. Outside of internet marketing, it's a little bit different game than inside of internet marketing. Outside of internet marketing, you can get traffic using affiliate programs. What you do is, it's not rocket science. You just go into the forums, you go into the blogs, and you find websites that people go to, just like I show you on row number one. Go ahead and mute this out because we do have a little background noise, so hold on 1 second. And let me find my mute button here. And we can mute this out. All right. Okay, now, I want to make sure this mute is working, so I'm going to, again, this is a new conference call service. I'm going to come off the mute for just 1 second to make sure I didn't mute myself out. All right, everyone, can you still hear me?
Yep, can hear you.
Yep.
All right, great. Well, I'll go ahead and mute all participants then. Okay, cool. Now, here's the deal. I want to boil this down and make sure that it's simple for you. I want to boil it down and make sure it's simple. So number one, row one, is you research. You find out what the blogs are that people are reading, what websites they go to, what forums they go to. For the forums, you can use big-boards.com, but quite honestly, often the best way to find the forums that people are going to is to just go to Google and type in whatever the name of your niche is and forum. And usually they'll find the forums that way. It's not rocket science. Number two, you need blogs. You can use technorati.com for blogs. That link is in the product, technorati.com to search blogs. It's on row one, I think icon two or three. Now, that's how you find the blogs that people are going to. When you go there, you know, you want to see who appear to be the networked bloggers. Do they have text links on their websites that you can buy? Do they have banner ads that you can buy? Same thing on the forums. A lot of times in these niche forums, you can buy banners in the forum, and it won't be expensive. You can buy them through Google, or you can contact the forum owners directly. A lot of niches, you can probably get that banner for on a very, 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 very highly trafficked forum for $150 or $200 a month, and that's going to be a lot cheaper than you would pay per click from Google. You can also run CPM, cost per 1,000 banners on Google. In other words, for every 1,000 impressions, you pay $3, $5, $6, whatever the current bid is. So these are the things that you want to find out. Now, as you're doing this research in the forums and the blogs, you're going to find who has products for sale. These are your list owners. These are your list owners, and these are the people you're going to approach to be your affiliates. Because the easiest and best traffic in internet marketing is still affiliates. I mean, let me just cover it real quick, your traffic sources. You know, you've got writing articles and submitting them. The goal of writing articles and submitting them is to get organic SEO positioning. It does work. Tends to be a slow process. And, you know, you're never probably going to get the fast, quick rush of traffic you can get by having an affiliate send your offer to their list with their endorsement. Conversions are going to be higher, traffic's going to be faster, everything. Pay-per-click marketing, you got to pay-per-click. So, and it's a good way a lot of times for a beginner to start in that, you know, I mean, you have traffic an hour from now. That's the good news. The bad news is, I mean, depends on that niche and the price of the clicks. You know, if you're in a niche where the clicks are like a dime, because I think like Frank Kern said in the dog niche, he gets clicks for a dime, probably on the content networks, and not search. The Google pay-per-click is divided into two sides. The content side, meaning that those ads that you see on people's websites. So it's content syndication. They put their ads on other people's websites, and if the people click, then you pay per click. Well, those clicks are going to be cheaper and less qualified than the people who are specifically searching for a topic, because the people specifically searching, they have a need to buy right now, or they have a need for that information right now. The ads that appear on other people's websites, you know, oh, I'm curious about that. They click it, but they don't have some kind of pressing, compelling need. However, if your ad's appearing on targeted websites where you know the people are going there, you know, like anime. Let's say you were selling anime. You know, if they were going to anime sites, then you pretty much know they have an interest in it. You got a pretty good chance of grabbing them with your content ad. Well, your content clicks are going to be a lot cheaper than your search clicks. So you have writing articles and submitting them to try to get traffic on the organic side. That's part of what Tina wrote about or talked about in the Evergreen Traffic System. You can do traffic organic SEO. Tina does, you know, you got to write a blog and write a lot of content, write a lot of articles, submit a lot of articles. That's really what it boils down to. It's just work. You got to write a lot and be a prolific writer. Some people buy PLR, private label rights content, and so forth. I don't know that you're going to build a long-term business that way. What you want is a long-term business and not something that's going to work for 6 months and then fall apart. Because quit your job or whatever and your income falls apart, it just mucks with everything. So affiliate programs are still the best source of traffic. So when you're going around looking at these blogs, looking at the forums, who has the products, who has the list, those are your potential affiliates. They're not competitors. The potential affiliates. It's good to have some competitors. It's good to have some people who can be your endorsers that have lists in the market. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Now, let's just talk about how you really make money in the business. So you don't have to start out with your own product. Some of you may not have it. It's good to have your own product, but you don't have to have it because you can build your list and send out promotions for affiliate products. You know, I know a guy I talked to the other day who's running banner ads in forums. Right, he's running banner ads and forums on like win a contest type thing, and they got to enter their email to win the contest. He's collecting up to 7 to 10,000 names in big niches, but in just like a matter of a couple weeks using banners. So you can run banners and forums and get a lot of opt-ins. Don't think you can't. But I still like the affiliate program. So row one is about doing your research, find out who these affiliates are, who owns the list, where you can buy advertising, the blogs and forums and so forth. This is how you target your audience. You also create your customer profile because you go to quantcast.com. That's in the product, Q-U-A-N-T-C-A-S-T, quantcast.com. And you go there and you research, you type in URLs that you've stumbled across. It'll break it down on a lot of them, percentage male, female, what websites they go to, income levels, educational levels, everything. So now you can identify and actually be able to picture who your target prospect is. Like, I know the age of my prospects, you know, and because I know their age and their income and educational level, you know, I can target my marketing better. like on Google Pay-per-click, you can actually exclude income ranges if you want. They have a demographic option where you can exclude people below a certain income or above a certain income level. So you can zero in your targeting even more. Alright, so that's really row one. Now, the way you make money in this business is not hard. You get people on your list, you send out emails, and you sell stuff. And in today's environment, to convert, depending on how competitive your niche is, to keep people's attention and interest and keep them reading your emails, you mix it up with some multimedia, meaning video or audio, blog posts. You know, you mix it up because it keeps people involved. It keeps people engaged. But the money in the business is made by getting people on your list and emailing them offers, mixed in with enough content that they stay on your list. Mixed in with enough content. Now, you treat someone new on your list different than you treat somebody who's not new, meaning somebody new on your list, you're going to send them a lot of offers, not a lot of content, with a real low-priced offer, just trying to get them to buy something. Once they're a customer, you know, you try to send out a piece of content for every pitch you do, or at least some really great content weekly in an e-zine. But you try to make, if you just send all pitches, you're going to burn your list out real fast. I mean, like as in 2 to 4 weeks, they're going to stop reading your emails. There are people who've mastered an art of doing both. In the product, I talk about John Alanis at womenapproachme.com, womenapproachme.com, and Matt Fury at mattfury.com, mattfury.com. Both of those URLs are in the product, and I talk about it. Both those guys send out emails daily. I think John sends out 2 emails a day, one's a content email and one's a pitch. His content emails really aren't so much content as they are stories that just really engage you. Matt Fury sends out a lot of stories. If you're a great storyteller, you can learn to become a great storyteller. You can email your list more frequently because they're just amused reading your emails. They like reading your emails. They're going to keep opening your emails. They're going to keep reading. They're going to keep buying. This is not a complicated business. Now, how to get people on the list? That's your freebie. That's what all row two is about. Now, you don't have to do all row two. You pick one. Whether you want to do a report, whether you want to do Camtasia video, which is a great way because a lot of people are really slow writers. So you do Camtasia videos or Cam Studio is free. They'll both work. I like Camtasia better. The pros use Camtasia, but you can definitely get by with Cam Studio. You do screen capture videos, PowerPoint slides. What you do is you create PowerPoint slides, or if you don't have PowerPoint, you can do it in OpenOffice. Create slides, fire up your Camtasia or Cam Studio, record some videos, you know, and now you got something that you can offer as a freebie. 5 videos on some hot topics that you know they're interested in. How do you find the hot topics? You go to the forums, you read the blogs, you know what's on people's minds, you know what they're talking about. The freebie is the dominant thing that determines the opt-in, the quality of the traffic and the freebie. Assuming you got quality of traffic, the number one main thing is just the headline and what you're offering people free to join the list. You know, that it ain't really any more complicated than that. The ideal scenario is you over-deliver on the freebie you send people. You over-deliver because that way they'll go, wow, if the free stuff is, you've heard this before, it's what's common in internet marketing right now. People are sending out free boot camps and tons and tons of free stuff, A, to get people on their list because it's so competitive in internet marketing. It's like piranhas. And then B, because the implication is if my free stuff is this good, my paid stuff is even better, although typically the free stuff is better than the paid stuff. You know, so anyway. All right, I just explained this. If you have a question, you can email talmarlin@yahoo.com, but I'm going to come off of mute here and see if y'all have any questions on this. All right, I should be off of mute. Does anybody have a question or a comment on what I just talked about? I should be off of hold. Okay, if you can hear me, say yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, that's
good. I can hear you.
All right. At least you can hear me. That's a good start, right?
That's always a good start.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so who has a question on what I just talked about that? Is it Crystal? Is it Mud? Are you behind this curve? Are you ahead of this? And you're going, yeah, I'm already doing that. Where are you all at?
Marlin, this is Bernie.
Hi, Bernie.
Yeah, one thing that what you're saying just reinforces for me what you're saying in the promo dashboard itself. You know, it's reinforcing that. So that's a real good thing. And one thing that I've gotten from what you just said about it was funny. You said free stuff is sometimes better than the paid stuff. Going through the first row of the promo dashboard, I haven't finished yet, but I'm a little bit more than halfway through, really shined a light on me that an offer that I want to make that I was kind of holding back, you know, didn't want to give too much, but it really flipped my mind around so that now I'm very comfortable with what I've come up with in the brainstorming to give as an offer. So that was really helpful.
Yeah, you know, I will tell you the masters at this. You know, and I understand some of you guys and gals have jobs and you have a limited time and you just can't research everything. But one company, and I cover them in the product, and on a video I show you some of their sites. It's a company called Agora. Because you got to understand, Agora does, I think, $150 million a year. They've got, God, I don't know how many employees. I think hundreds. They're just a huge, massive direct response company. They're also both on and off the internet. They send out millions of pieces of direct mail a year, but their online direct marketing is awesome. And what's crazy, and you'll see it on the videos in there about Agora, is they offer like free reports, but they deliver the free reports on the spot. It's like you opt in, and it's the next page, and it's literally one page. It's literally just one page. So don't be thinking you necessarily have to write a 200-page ebook to have a freebie. Agora uses one-page little mini reports, and it works great. Now, the problem with that is just a little bit, people are going, well, God, there's not a lot of value here. The difference is, in the twist Agora adds, is they have highly paid staff, or fairly well-paid staff, I guess. Again, the writers that write the editorial content aren't paid nearly as much as their direct mail and their copywriters. So, like, you wish the guy that wrote the letter would be writing the newsletter, you know. Wish the person wrote the sales letter, because the person that wrote the sales letter is probably making, I don't know, two or three times what the editorial person's making. But anyway, the point is they send out daily, a lot of their businesses, daily or at least weekly e-zines. So while their upfront content, they don't have that much, you just start getting hammered every day with very high-quality content. Their daily emails are not pitches. They just flood you with content. But a lot of it's in the investing market. So, you know, you'd always be talking about the stock of the day or the this or that. There's tons of content. So doing in our business, depending on your business, a daily email thing with a lot of content is top. So the alternative strategy is you include more value in that upfront freebie, so then people feel you're credible. Then people go, wow, this person's really good. My point on Agora is they really feel like they put their best stuff for free in their sales letters. I mean, they say this. Michael Masterson is one of their, they got, it's kind of a loose association over there at companies, but one of their companies and a brilliant marketer, with a book at the bookstore right now called Ready, Aim, Fire, is Michael Masterson, and he'll be the first to tell you they put their best content in their free sales letters. Well, a lot of marketers do the same thing with their free stuff they offer online, whether it's Rich Sheffern's PDFs or whether it's whoever you're talking about, the free boot camps being given away or this or that. A lot of times the best content is in that free stuff being given away. Not a bad strategy, because everybody opt-ins, you have the viral word of mouth, people feel like you're credible. And then, I mean, the back-end product's got to be good. You can't deliver something shabby. But you really got to wow people on a highly competitive market on that freebie. In a non-competitive market, you know, your freebie doesn't got to be great. In fact, you know, I have friends that use private label rights and just create a new e-cover for it. And either, A, use it as a freebie to get the opt-in, or, B, in the case of Mr. X thing that Ryan Dice sold, who I know him, he would buy PLR reports and sell them for $17. And that the advantage of that method was just it paid for the clicks. So in other words, on Google, but with a low price offer, he found out that under $20 converted great, and it didn't make a lot of difference between 7 and 17. So he sold 17, he had the cash flow to pay for the clicks. Then he would deliver, I think, three upsells, which was all of his profit. The first sell for the $17 broke even on the price of clicks. Very, very, very simple marketing model. You know, broke even on clicks, then three upsells. One of them was a continuity, meaning recurring billing newsletter or something that you pay for monthly, membership side, I think. So that was all the profit. The profit was in the three upsells. An upsell means you buy the $17 thing, and then, oh, by the way, did you want this? It's an OTO, one-time offer. To use Mike Kilsane's language, truth is, that's an upsell, and people have been doing them for 1,000 years, you know. Back, I'm sure, in the old days, it was like, You know, now that you bought the camel, do you want the slop buckets or whatever camels, the harness for his back or something? They've been doing it for thousands of years. In today's terminology, people have made it fancy and they call them upsells. So the money was in the upsells. This is my point about marketing. If you have somebody that comes to you with 100 million process charts and 100 million very complicated things, you know, it might be real, but I kind of am skeptical, because typically the great things in life and the great things in marketing are simple. You know, if you're in love, you don't need to have the $500 dinner with expensive bottle of wine and everything. You know, an ice cream cone will do. The walk through the park or splashing puddles or whatever it is, you know. I mean, it's the simple things in life, and I think that about marketing. It's a simple model. The $17 private label rights reports paid for the cost of the clicks, three upsells, and the money was in the upsells, end of story, done deal, and the marketing model. Well, now you got their email and you can sell them other stuff. You know, what I'm saying in the promo dashboard is that ain't complicated. You offer something in free, get them on your list, and sell them other stuff. Use podcasts, use videos, other stuff to do it, but that's all you do. All right, who else has a question on this? Don't be shy. Go ahead and speak up. All right. Are you all still with me?
Still here.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're here.
I worry because my battery's a little low on the phone, so if you just all of a sudden lose me, I'll have to call in on another phone. Like, all right, so just tell me honestly, how did you react to what I just said? In other words, is this common sense to you? Is this something you already know when you, like, go on to the advanced information? Is this something where it feels overwhelming or uncertain to do? How do you feel about this, and where are you at on this? In anyone? I mean, tell me the truth. I'm not looking for sugarcoating here. I'm not about that. I'm not about hype. I'm about real freaking life. So tell me, how do you feel about what I just said?
Well, and I agree with that, and I'm already there, so, you know, that's why I'm not, you know.
When you say you're already there, how far along that path are you? Do you have your freebie put together yet, or are you still working on it?
We have multiple sites, and we have freebies on most of those sites.
Okay, well, then maybe you could inspire the other people on this call. Without telling us your niches, you know, how many niches are you in, and what are your freebies converting at in terms of percentage of people opting in?
I'm in basically two niches and starting a third.
All right.
The difference between not offering a freebie and offering it, it makes almost a 300% difference.
What do you get on opt-in percent without the freebie?
We're only just under 20% when we did the first test.
With or without the freebie?
Without a freebie.
With the freebie, what are you at?
We're over 45% consistently, and sometimes higher than that, depending. We've been playing with the freebies a little bit.
All right. By the way, guys, if you're talking in the background or you have noise in the background, you can press *6 to mute yourself out. And then when you want to talk again, you can press *6 to unmute it. So you're doing like 45% on your opt-ins with your freebie?
Yeah, and that's coming. A lot of that is coming from a forum area, by the way, which really drove up our opt-ins, because it was a very related group of people, and so they were real interested. The freebie that's worked best for us isn't really a full freebie.
Okay.
I mean, right now it looks like this. We're offering a CD.
Yeah,
and having them pay the $6 for shipping and handling.
Okay. Now, are you doing the Matt Basak model, where you follow up with the they get the free strategy session, you call up, set the appointment, and then sell them?
We're not doing that, because we don't do a big. We don't have a real high ticket item. Ours is a.
Well, the thing is that the salespeople are on commission. So if they can earn $500 a week, and right now they're only making $350 doing a telemarketing job, that's $150 more a week than they're currently earning.
Yeah, we haven't done that yet. We looked at it originally, and we just kind of put it on the, you know, on the later list, and I probably ought to revisit it.
Well, I don't know. You know, figuring out, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that figuring out your back end is all clear cut, and that I have all the answers, that it's all easy. you know, it's simple. You make other offers on the back end, but it's not always easy. Do you do the telemarketing, inbound calls, outbound calls? Do you send direct mail? Do you do video? Do you do audio? You know, there's testing and experimenting, unfortunately, and there's a lot of different models that work. I mean, the only thing that's consistent amongst them is somehow you get a message to people and you sell them. Now, typically your highest success, your highest closing ratio will be over the phone. And if you have no risk of doing it over the phone, I say no risk. You do have some risk because you can use a virtual thing where the people do the strategy sessions at home, but you don't have real good quality control unless you've got a really sophisticated phone system that can record that stuff. They do have those things. They do exist. But if you have to put the people in the office, you have to give them a phone in your office, you do have overhead. So you do have a cost to it, but it's not a lot of cost. It's maybe for their body in the office, that's probably, I don't know, $150 or $200 a month for their space. And then the cost of the phone, depending on the phone setup, you're going to have a cost there, $50 a month or, you know, something. So there is some cost to it, but basically it's a risk-free. You're going to have your highest conversion is always going to be over the phone, always, that I know of. I don't know it's one-to-one selling, so it doesn't get any higher than that. It is a hassle, though, because commission salespeople are going to come and go typically, and then maybe you got to have someone hiring and managing them, so you have more costs there. So, and if you don't have a big ticket, then, yeah, now, are you doing in your follow-up to these emails? By the way, 45%, if you got 45%, be very careful in your split testing, because you just don't want to muck it up. I mean, that's an off-the-chart opt-in rate. I understand you're in a niche and so forth, but you're just killing it on that opt-in rate. Right, you're aware of that, right?
Oh, yeah, I am. We're not doing remotely close to that in the other niche.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you told me you were doing 20 with a freebie, I would have thought maybe a 6 to 8% without the freebie, and I would have said 20 is good. You know, because 20 is good. If you get 30, you're killing it. Anywhere above, I mean, at 30, you should just be leaping up and down. At 45, you know, good God. Unless the people are broke and just don't buy. But if they got money and they'll buy on the back end, you should have a real machine in that niche. And I bet you're probably only wishing you had more niches like it.
Well, yeah, if I could find 6 more, I'd be done.
Yeah, right? He just says, pack the whole thing up, sell it, and just go to the beach, right?
Yeah. Let me ask you this. We started testing a one where we mail them the CD and one where we give them an option to just listen to it online and they don't even have to pay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen that?
Well, I've heard of some people. Now, here's the thing is, and I believe, now I'm not sure, because Matt Basek's really the one that innovated that model in our industry. I'm sure people have been doing it for a long time. But in our model, he's really the one who innovated. I believe the reason Matt mails in the CD is, A, Matt does a little follow-up direct mail with postcards and so forth, so he wants that address. But B, if you ask for a phone number when you get an address, that's kind of standard, see? Because normally with shipping, UPS requires a phone number and so forth. But if you just had them opt in with an email and you also asked for the phone, then people would be like, what? Why? So I think that's the reason Matt does it, is because it's all built around his model, which is the phone sales. I mean, his model is a phone sales model.
Okay.
At the end of the day, it's about phone sales. So, and, you know, in your case, see, you got to be careful, not careful, but conscious that if you're copying somebody else's model, that you're completely aware of what you're doing. In other words, you know, saying, well, everybody else is doing free CDs, I'm going to do a free CD, but then they're doing phone sales and you're not, you know, it's like you're kind of missing half the model. So I would think if you're not doing phone sales and you don't need the phone number, I don't know that I see a reason to mail in the CD unless you're doing direct mail follow-up. Like, otherwise, unless you split test it and you just find out sending them a physical CD increases the opt-ins. If that's the case and you split test it, you know, then I would think, though, actually it would be the reverse. I would think instant access, you're going to get higher opt-ins than deferred gratification. Normally, the closer the reinforcer is to the desired behavior, the higher the response to the desired behavior. If you have delayed gratification, meaning they got to wait 7 to 10 days to get the CD, you're going to lower your response. Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay.
And it can also affect your back end. In other words, your people who are willing to wait 7 to 10 days are going to be a higher quality than people that want it right now and aren't willing to wait. But if you're just doing email follow-up on the back end, then it's all irrelevant because the cost of email is very minimal, depending on the service you use, but it's relatively minimal. So that's my thoughts on it. I would split test it, but in your case, you're not doing phones, so I can't think of any reason to mail them a physical CD unless it just increases your opt-in rate.
Okay, thank you.
You can also track conversions. There is a possibility that getting the CD in the mail is going to increase your conversions. I do not have experience with that because we've not mailed people a physical CD. What I do know is the reason Matt is what I believe is the reason Matt does it, and that is because once you're giving a mailing address, giving your phone number is just something you do, and then they're on the phone within 30 minutes to set the strategy session. I mean, they're like on it within 30 minutes. So that's the whole reason I believe Matt does the CD. That's what I got to say on that. Now, are you doing multimedia follow-up yet? Are you doing podcasts, Camtasia videos, any other thing, or just email pitches?
No, we do a lot of we do a lot with video.
All right. So you're real far along this process then. When you say you do a lot with video, do you mean Camtasia videos or live video?
We do both.
Oh, okay.
And we like to put the personality in front of the people. That seems to be helping us a lot instead of just the voice.
Oh, all right. Do you know the difference on conversions, or have you measured it?
You know what? We didn't do a good job of tracking it. We got a lot of good feedback, and sales went up. I don't have good data though.
All right. Yeah, you're a sophisticated operation if you're that far along the process. I mean, most people don't have a squeeze page up with a freebie yet, so you're a sophisticated marketer, and you're way down that process. Now, have you done the live streaming sessions yet, or are you doing pre-recorded video, or are you doing the live streaming video?
We've done nothing with live streaming yet.
Now, we have the push-button channel product, which I think offers a few unique features, but you can do the basics of it with Ustream.tv. We created a little interface, and it's got a few benefits with it. But the Ustream.tv for the live streaming, you might try that. The issue you have on it is I would make people register for the chat and not be able to chat anonymously because your competitors can go in there and try to trash you out. And you can't ban them. If you require them to register to make comments, you have more control over banning people. Although we had someone on one of my calls that kept commenting on how that I looked older than I used to. And, like, we banned him, and somehow he got back on the damn call.
Okay.
I look older. I do, because... once you have old parents, your parents are older and all of that, you're gonna age, right?
Right.
You're gonna age, right? So, but anyway, yeah, we banned him and they got back on and I'm like, yeah, Martin looks like he's losing his hair. I'm like, would you just shut up about it? It's like, looks was never my USP in my marketing anyway. Right? I mean, come on now. So anyway, but yeah, the live streaming has the benefit of people can give you their objection on the spot, and you can pull it out, and you can respond with more emotion and feeling if you have somebody who's photogenic or can communicate on camera. You can handle that objection almost like being in person. So it's going to be your conversions theoretically are one step up from a teleseminar. Or even a webinar, because you have the ability to use the power of the face to communicate the emotion, right? So theoretically, you can get that conversion one step higher. Plus, the other thing is you have the social. Now, do you do webinars?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, the nice thing about the webinar is the social proof, if you do got a whole bunch of people on there, of course, it's a great thing. All right, so you're very far along in this process, and congratulations to you for doing it, because while I have you on here, you might as well give some tips to our people. When you said that the forum thing increased your opt-ins, I really didn't track on what you were talking about it, so since nobody knows your niche, you can tell us. Do you mean that when they opt in, they're getting access to a free form, or do you mean that your people go into the free form to start with, and then you offer your free opt-in, or the CD, I guess, in the forum?
I pay $80 a month to have a banner in a forum.
Yep.
And then I started posting in that forum on a pretty regular basis.
Yep.
And that has driven that's outproduced our pay-per-click, and it outproduced our article marketing. I mean, it just obliterated them. I mean, it wasn't even close, and so we lost everything else.
That's just crazy. Now, is there a lot of new blood in the forum? Because a lot of forums, it's kind of like the same X number of people there all the time.
These guys have a lot of churn in this particular forum. They
don't
have a lot of long-term people, but they get a lot of intros. It's part of how they have a training product that's in our niche.
Okay.
And they give the instructions on how to use it in the forum.
Oh, wow.
So they drive everybody on.
God, you must think that's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Oh, I think it's genius. I wish I could talk everybody into doing it.
Dang. Hey, maybe you should hold the teleseminar for the competitors or the free info product, right?
Yeah, probably not.
Train them. Good God. Well, that's just – so is that the only forum where you can buy a banner?
No, I have other forums where we do it, but we don't get as good at we don't have as consistent. We're always good when we first go in.
Yeah.
But it's not as consistent and ongoing.
How much does it cost you to get an opt-in? Do you know the cost for what from the forum, what's the cost for an opt-in versus pay-per-click?
It's not just the cost, it's the quantity, but our cost is set in the forum.
If you take and you say I'm paying $80 a month and each month I'm getting 200 opt-ins or 500 opt-ins, so I'm paying X amount per opt-in.
Right. And so we'll range somewhere in the lowest I think we've had since we've been in it, other than our first month. Our first month we didn't do it right at all. I think we had 196. So, you know, that's
whatever that comes out to.
Yeah.
80 divided. What is that? I can't do math. 80 bucks and 196. Can anybody do that math real quick? So he's paying 80 bucks a month and he's getting say 200 opt-ins. Here, I have a calculator.
So it's 250.
All right. Okay. Well, that's awesome. I assume that what's your value of a customer over like a year?
Well, our primary product is a $47 per month membership site, and our average retention on that is between 9 and 10 months.
Well, that's really great retention because normally it's like 3 to 4.
Yeah. We've increased it.
You're doing what, double or triple? Double to triple. You've got a great niche because here's why. You've got double to the triple the retention, you know, on your membership site. You're getting probably double the normal response on your opt-ins up front. So you're just smoking in that niche. You just need about 4 more niches like that.
Yeah, well, if I could find one more, I'd be real happy. Right now we're trying to max this one out. And, you know, we are playing in 2 others or just started a third, but it's...
Well, you know, I'll tell you a funny thing that you could do. I mean, okay, so there's this guy, Matt Levenhagen, who has a system. He used to call Campaign Blaster. I don't know if he still does or not. I think he still sells the book. But it was a simple system, and what he did I thought was really genius in a lot of ways was he would go and run like 6 to 10. He would place pay-per-click ads on 6 to 10 new products a day. He would just grab products at random in different markets from Commission Junction, ClickBank, and some of the other affiliate sites. So he just placed a lot of pay-per-click ads in a lot of different niches, until he found one that was just smoking hot. But I thought it was genius because here's why. In a month, he's probably testing, you know, well, somewhere in the range of 50 to 100 niches in a month. You know, and since you already know that if you get something above, say, 20 or 30% on an opt-in rate, you're killing it, you know, it wouldn't be too hard for you to go out and just start testing a bunch of niches. And if you, you know, as soon as you found one that's 45% opt-in rate, you just hit the mother load.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you already know. If you see that 45% opt-in rate, it's like, hot dog, we just struck gold.
Yeah, I'll call you and let you know.
Well, I've heard of them. I mean, I've heard of people that get higher than that. I only wish I was, you know. We're not into paper. I'm small into pay-per-click, but we got to move more into pay-per-click. And it's like my objective is 20 to 30%. If I can get 20 to 30% on an opt-in in internet marketing, you know, we think that it's just great. And I'm talking about pay-per-click traffic. Not, you always hear these people go, well, we get real high opt-ins, but that ain't from pay-per-click traffic. It's like from affiliate traffic, which is, as you know, a whole nother ballgame. Now, you also do article marketing. Do you do that in-house or you farm that out?
We did it in-house. We've done both. But yeah. I found a guy that used to be a writer at a newspaper, and they weren't paying him very well. And I set him up on a couple of copywriting courses, and he caught on pretty quick.
Well, so tell us about that. How did you find this guy? Craigslist?
No, actually, it was a referral. This was a personal referral.
Really?
I was complaining to a friend of mine. He says, well, I got a buddy that works down. You know, you ought to talk to him.
That's so-and-so newspaper. Well, you know, that's a great idea. That's just a fabulous idea. And the reason it's a great idea is because the Internet is just killing newspapers. And I'm sure they're laying off journalists right and left. I mean, the readership of newspapers, I just read the percentages the other day. I forget them, but they're massive. The eyeballs that are going to newspapers, you know, they're just getting crushed by the Internet. So I'm sure there's a lot of journalists out there that can use the money. So do you just pay like a flat? My question on that is I thought about doing that same thing, but my question is, you know, how do you get the productivity? Do you say, dude, you got to do two articles a day or more articles, or is it just a flat salary? In other words, how do you get productivity and how do you pay?
Well,
do you pay per article or flat salary?
I paid him piecework in the beginning,
yep.
And now I just have him under contract because I also have him write sales letters for us.
Oh, you're a smart man, so you train him to write sales letters?
Oh, I bought him the courses and sent him to... sent him to a couple because he was really interested and open, which hasn't been my experience with a lot of writers.
Yeah, especially coming from a journalistic background.
Yeah, it was really hard to get him to drop the kind of the model that they use in the newspaper, where all the main facts are in the first paragraph and then everything else.
Right, exactly, because that's drilled into you from day one of journalism class.
Yeah, it was hard. Now, in the articles, that actually helped us.
Oh, yeah?
Because that's how people like to read articles. And then, I mean, that wasn't as bad, but the sales letters, oh, my gosh, they were god-awful. And I
yeah, man, teaching somebody to write sales letters, it's just like pulling teeth. It's like, I got to do it again because Lisa, you know, was with me for a long time, and we parted ways for different reasons. And, God, I'm dreading somebody else trying to teach. Well, I try to teach Fontos, and it just, you know, it's just such a learning curve. And really, you got to kind of have a knack for it, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah, it sure helps if you have a knack for it, anyway. I'll put it that way.
This guy did some sales when he was in college.
Oh, yeah, that helped a lot.
That has more to do with him being able to do it than anything, because he kind of understands the setup and how to craft a pitch, so to speak.
Now, when you were paying in piecework, were you paying five bucks an article, $10 an article, or more?
We would decide based on what it was. It was set up, and it usually I would have him do four or five articles, and it'd be $30 or $40.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a fair deal. A lot of people, I'm sure, for quality writing wouldn't mind paying $30 or $40 for five articles for something that's quality. You know,
it was 100% unique. It was He knew how to do. He's a really great researcher, which is
helps a lot.
Yeah, because I wasn't able to train him on that. He's taught me stuff I had no idea.
Oh, I bet. Coming from journalism, that really helps a lot. Well, now, do you submit your articles, Article Marketer, iSnare? Do you only submit to a small number in your niche, to specific websites? What's your strategy?
Now we do kind of a broad. My main niche is a small niche, so we just go direct.
Okay.
Those, but we've used article. We actually hired. What was the? I'm trying to think of the company we hired. We used them for about 4 months, and they got it out. And you know, they did an okay job, but the cost of it didn't make sense to do that anymore.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, you've shared a lot of information. I want to thank you for doing that. For those of the rest of you on this call, was the information? By the way, what is your name, sir?
Steve Wilson.
Steve Wilson, was the information Steve just shared with you all helpful? And if so, you know, give us some feedback. Did that spark any ideas for you? Did it spark questions? Was it helpful to you? Anyone? Not all at once, please.
Yes, actually, I got some good information from the what you just talked about.
All right. How could that help you in your business?
Well, just the idea about how he's in several niche markets and how the other guy you talked about plays several pay-per-click ads to try and find a hot market.
Right.
That's what I never thought of doing that, to find the hot markets.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, what he would do is I think sometimes he would send them to a squeeze page and sometimes he sent them direct to merchant. Personally, I would try to set up a squeeze page because I want to see, you see, you're going to have to drive a lot of clicks to get sales is the thing, or you probably will. But on the opt-in, you know, you drive 100 or 200 clicks there and you already know what your opt-in rate should be. You know, if the opt-in's rate is 6 to 8%, you know, forget about it and go on to something else. And you're saying, well, what do I have them opt-in for? Frankly, I go buy a private label rights report.
Okay.
You know, maybe do a new cover for it. I mean, there's people out there on warriorforum.com who will do covers for you, you know, graphic design for probably $20 a cover or something like that.
Okay.
That's probably what I would do is I just throw up an ebook that's private label rights, but in private label rights, you have the right to do your own cover and change the title. So I'd change the title, you know, probably stick a different cover on it for $20, throw it up there. But you don't even have to do that. I mean, I've seen opt-ins that work on a very high percentage. Now, I don't know if they're going to stick longer than 6 weeks in Google. You know, they'll probably get ads, but you don't need it. You only need it there probably 3, 4, or 5 days. So you then just take it down. And what they literally do is they just put the headline up, a red headline with the opt-in form. And I've seen some high numbers on percentage of opt-ins, and so that's another way you could try doing it. That way you don't even have to have the PLR report. Throw them up there with a headline and an opt-in, and as long as it's control, in other words, as long as you're using the same opt-in approach in every market, then you have a valid test. At least market to market, you can tell what market is the strongest, you know. You can also limit your risk because you could say, I'm only going to pay. I think when he did this, he would only pay a dime a click because he figured if he couldn't get the clicks for a dime and he couldn't get them to opt in, then he didn't want the market. Now, later on, you know, you could raise the stakes. I'm willing to pay 20 cents a click or 30 cents a click for more competitive markets with higher potential. Like Steve, in your market, I'm assuming, well, I don't know. I would think with that kind of an opt-in percent, I don't know. Are you paying the higher prices per click, like 30, 40, 50, 60 or more, or is this a low price per click type of niche?
No, we're 18 to 27, and, 28, something like that. All
right.
We've actually dropped that completely. I mean, it's just that was way more work than what we
did. For the pay-per-click?
Yeah, we've dropped the pay-per-click. We might go back to it later, but managing it and fine-tuning that all the time compared to what we've found here, we feel like we want to spend more of our resources on this.
Yeah, you know, the paper, you're right. The pay-per-click can be really good. Man, Google has made it harder, just to me, honestly, with this, the relevancy score, and you got to work like, you got to work hard to have highly relevant ads and all of that. But I'll tell you, for everyone on this call, there's an easy solution to it, and that is if you follow that Agora model that I cover on the videos and you figure out what they're doing, we'll talk about future calls, but if you follow that kind of a model, then pay-per-click will work for you in the current environment. But yeah, still, they made it harder, you know. And your ads got to completely match what you're offering as the freebie, you know. So that's why that Mr. X, the thing, the product Ryan Dice did, you know, he got a whole lot of private label stuff, and he would take the chapters and make each chapter, I think, he'd buy an e-book, private label rights, and make each chapter into a report that people paid, I think, $17 for. And then the upsell was they could buy all the other, quote, reports, which are really just chapters from the e-book to begin with. It was really the best strategy in the world. I was talking on one of the conference calls that you got free in the private site on this on one of the bonuses page. There's a great interview in there with Keith Baxter. And by the way, I'm going to be posting one with Ryan Dice, too, that I just did. But Keith is in there, and he's talking about that he thought that was the best pay-per-click course, the one Ryan did, hands down. So anyway, I'll have an interview with Ryan that's just brilliant. And for those of you guys and girls who don't have a product, you're going to love the Ryan Dice interview because Ryan talks about if you don't have a product, how he runs big numbers on businesses where somebody else provides the product, and it's a profit split. And it's fascinating the way, so he's in markets he knows nothing about because he has an expert content provider who has no clue really how to market themselves, and he does. So it's a profit split. And he goes into some highly competitive niches. Of course, he has a skill to do that. But if you're going into some of these sophisticated niches that are high competitive, you better have somebody who's a real expert. Well, with this method, that's what he does. And it's fascinating. You'll have that interview in there, too. So this is like what our calls will be. if we call this the A-Team, the idea is we do this twice a month. And I try to keep you on track and keep you focused on this model. Let me ask you this. Do you all have problems jumping from model to model and model and not sticking to one model? Is that a problem, or you don't perceive that as a problem, anyone?
What kind of model do you mean?
Okay. By model, I mean you can make money with Google AdSense. You can make money with what I'm talking about here. You can make money with Google Cash running pay-per-click ads that go direct to an affiliate. A model is really how are you going to make money? And there's a lot of different ways to make money online, and you get an offer, 10 offers every day in your email with different ways to make money. What a lot of people do is they get one way and they start on it. Then they're like, no, this other way sounds better. I'm going to do that. And they start on that, and then they get another email or the next big product launch. Oh, no. I need to be doing product launches, so I'm going to do Jeff Walker's course. And then the next one comes along, no, I don't need that, I need the co-reg thing, and they jump on that. And in the end, they never get anything done because they're jumping from model to model to model. Does that resonate with anyone, or you all don't feel that's an issue?
Yes, I've done that.
All right.
I'm trying to stick with yours to get my squeeze page and opt-in pages up and things.
All right.
I've got things to sell, and I haven't sold them because I haven't gotten an opt-in page up.
Well, and you do have to have a source of traffic, and Steve graciously shared how he's getting his traffic and reinforced the whole idea of putting banners in forums. You can all, Steve, have you bought any text links on blogs or banners on blogs?
I haven't.
Yeah, I don't know if your market, your niches have blogs or not, but if they do, I would go there and see if they have. Here's what I would look for. You know, a lot of blogs have Google AdSense on them. So you can go in Google AdSense and use the site-specific targeting to buy an ad, to buy your ad on that exact page. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I never even thought of that.
Now, well, here's the other thing. Let's say they're running they're displaying three Google AdSense ads. You can buy all three spots.
Oh.
Run three different, so now you dominate that blog. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I like that.
So I would do that, and then sometimes they just literally sell text links through one of these services that they've joined that allows them to sell text links on their site, so you look for that, And then sometimes they're running banners from one of the banner services, typically a Google banner thing, but sometimes one of the other banner services. And if so, then you see if you can buy a banner on their site. If they're running Google AdSense and you know that the site, the blog gets a lot of traffic, you can contact them. See, they're already splitting that money with Google, probably 50-50 or something like that. So you can contact them and strike a deal directly and pay them more than they're getting from the Google AdSense if you really want to be on that site. So that's one thing that you might, if you can find the targeted blogs that have a reading audience, you know, you might look at that. And the reason I was bringing that up was for those of you who don't have the traffic yet and need the traffic, these are some simple, practical, and not pie-in-the-sky things to get traffic. I mean, product launches and these other things, they all work, and they're all good, you know, but there's levels of skills. So, like, pulling off a product launch, it's a pretty high level of skill, to be honest. So if you're a newbie and starting out, like, Steve could go out and do a product launch in a niche if there were enough other players and pull it off because he has experience under his belt. Experience converting stuff, and he's got statistics, quote, so forth. When you're a newbie starting out, in my opinion, it's a lot harder, so it's good to get experience under your belt by buying ads on some of these blogs and websites, buying some banners in forums, and so forth. How about the rest of you? Do any of the rest of you have problems jumping from model? Is focus an issue, or you feel that you're focused and somehow things haven't come together, or are you like Steve and you're already quite a long way on this process? Anyone speak up and tell me where you're at.
Hi, this is Doug. I have a product. I've developed some opt-in sites and stuff like that, but I'm working on getting the shopping cart. That's where I'm stuck at this point. I'm getting the merch. I've got the merchant account, and I'm just setting up the shopping cart.
All right. Well, depending on who you're using for the shop, what shopping cart are you using, Doug?
One shopping cart.
Okay. Well, that's a fast setup then. That's not a big issue. The one thing I would say on One Shopping, and I like the One Shopping service a lot, I would watch your deliverability on your emails. The great thing about One Shop is that everything, including the affiliate program, all under one roof.
Right.
I've heard mixed reports on their email delivery. I really don't believe things I read in forums, so all I would tell you is monitor it, and even considering using external monitor service, but not one owned by, like, an autoresponder service. I won't mention names, but, like, one or two of the email monitoring services are owned by,
right?
You know, so what do you think they're going to say about the other company's deliverability? Honest to God,
right?
You know, it's going to be crap, and you know, so you got to get a true independent email monitoring service, and you should be getting like 85% deliverability. If you're getting less than 85%, then it's a problem. It's a problem. If you're getting more than 85%, you know, it's your bonus freaking day.
Okay.
You know, I mean, it's great. I think I average 85%. Sometimes I get more, sometimes I get less, but I think I probably average 85%. Steve, do you know what your deliverability is?
Oh, I don't know, but I know I used to use One Shopping Cart.
Okay. You went to another service, all right.
Yeah, I was.
But you don't know your current deliverability?
You know, I don't. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know of a really good way to track that. What do you do to track that?
Well, okay. What service are you using?
AWeber.
Okay. Then AWeber has a service called Delivery Monitor that tracks your deliverability. I would not use Delivery Monitor to track GetResponse or some other service. I'm not saying it's not an accurate tracking. I'm just saying I personally wouldn't do it. Actually, I've tried, and I don't think it's accurate because I also know Simon Grabowski at GetResponse and Simon tracks his deliverability very closely and uses very expensive monitoring services and so forth. So, you know, I have confidence what he's telling me is true. But anyway, for AWeber, use Delivery Monitor. It's their own service, but I think it's pretty accurate for their deliverability.
Okay.
And it's not expensive.
Does One Shopping Cart have their own delivery monitor?
And, I think they do have some delivery monitoring. I'm not sure. And I think there is some built into it. you know, some of these things are a little frustrating because, you know, all the technology isn't there. You can go and you can search in Google deliverability monitoring. And there are other independent delivery monitoring services, and most of them aren't too expensive. They're like 20 a month, I think. So they're relatively affordable. I mean, if you're starting out in a niche, I know a lot of people, like, you know, Frank runs his dog million-dollar-a-year dog business off of one shopping. So it can make you money. It's not that it can't make you money, but email deliverability is a concern for everybody, and, you know, so I just wanted to bring that up. I would just watch it and monitor it.
Thanks.
That's all. All right. Are you all still with me here?
Yeah.
All right. I had to switch phones. That's a sign that we have to wrap this up. Does anybody else have a comment on this or a question or anything before we wrap the call up today?
So all of these calls be on Tuesday because I'm usually at my job on Tuesday morning.
Oh, you are?
Me too.
Yeah, we are going to do the calls on Tuesday at 11 like this. I will be recording them and giving people the recordings.
Okay.
What is today? Is today Tuesday?
Yeah.
I said Tuesdays. I may do Wednesdays. Does it make much of a difference for most of you between Tuesday or Wednesday?
Thursday or Friday would work for me.
Yeah, Fridays, like, ain't anybody even in the office on Fridays. They just...
Okay.
Fridays are just tough. They just... I may do Wednesdays. I may move to Wednesdays. But the idea is we do it twice a month. They will be recorded. And the format will vary some. Sometimes I may just lecture. Sometimes it may be kind of more Q&A like today. And frankly, I have to get more people on these calls to make them valuable, I think, for everyone. I'm going to do some marketing on this independently. I have to hire. We're going a little bit slow at the moment. I have to hire a new webmaster for the office and a full-time person. So we're moving a little bit slow on a few things, but we'll get it worked out. We do need to get. I want to have more people on here because we need. You know, we need a higher level of feedback than we have currently. So anyway, I mean, we have like, I don't know, we should have had a pretty good number on the call today, but the problem is like 75% of the people never talk, so, or even greater, you know. So you got to have a lot of people on a call to really get the good feedback from everyone. I want it to be dynamic, and I want it to be useful to people, and I want it to be something they can benefit from. Like, if Steve's going to benefit, I have to have some higher level people on. There is level, and for some of you beginners, maybe you can listen in to some of the more advanced people. So I just got to see what I can do on this and how many can get on. At the end of the day, if it doesn't benefit everyone, I just won't do it. You know, I'm here to serve and not to just shove products down people's throats. So if it serves people, people say it's valuable and useful, I'll do it. If they don't, then I'll just do something else, right? I'll write a newsletter or whatever.
For someone who didn't speak up, that's me, Doug. I spoke up once, I think.
Yeah.
This was very helpful. One comment I would make, having you on the landline, I can understand you much better.
All right. Well, you know, to me, these calls are valuable. Like, if I was starting out in internet marketing, I would want something like this where I could hear people actually doing stuff and have somebody respond to my concern or something. But... There's so much I'll be honest, internet marketing is a tough market right now. You know, I've been in it since 1996, really. But it's the most competitive it's ever been. And unfortunately, I really feel like people are getting sidetracked with very sophisticated, very well delivered and well sold programs that aren't don't really serve them well. But it's a lot of razzle dazzle, but at the end of the day, does it really help them? And that's what I've always tried to do is just focus on what do people really – sometimes, though, the problem is people don't necessarily want what they need. I mean, what you need is to know how to get your squeeze page up. This is like what Yannick says when I talk to him. He's like, dude, your problem is you always try to tell people what they need, not what they want. And sometimes that's true. You know, I mean, you need to get your squeeze page up and email conversion process and products, and that's what makes you money. It ain't a complicated business. It ain't always what people want to hear about. No, I want to hear about the $10 million in 5 minutes launch, which is great, but you ain't going to do that now, and you may never do it because it's a, you know, to pull that kind of a thing off, it's like Michael Jordan dunking a basketball. Yeah, it looks easy, but it's freaking Michael Jordan. A lot of people don't understand. In this market, they're watching Michael Jordans who make it look easy and pitch it so it sounds easy, but it is easy for Michael Jordan. He ain't got no problem dunking a ball. But you bring in people that are in high school or college, a little bit different story. So I've tried to always tell people the truth, and I've tried to help people do stuff that's actually going to work and make them money, and you ain't got to be Michael Jordan to do it. So anyway, I hope these calls help. We are going to do this again before your 14 days are up and before the recurring billing starts in. I will announce another call. Maybe we'll do it next week. I want you to at least be on two of these calls and be able to say, yeah, I want it, or no, I don't want it. Yeah, it's going to help me. No, it ain't going to help me. And, Steve, I'm going to see if I can bring on some other high-level people so you'll have some other people to share and contribute with. I don't know if I can find out some other high-level people where you, on my list where you're at or not. We'll see. Because you're far advanced beyond what most people are. But it's great having you on the call, and you were just very generous and gracious to be willing to share with everyone and inspire, hopefully, the people that hear this call. If you're not inspired by those numbers, I don't know what is going to inspire you, because Steve is just killing it. I mean, those are just awesome numbers. If you ever get 45% on an opt-in, man, go down to downtown and do a jig. And when people ask, what are you doing a jig for? Go, man, I got 45% on an opt-in. Don't you get it? Then the police will come and haul you off, and you won't be able to do any marketing for like 3 days. But, all right. Okay, everyone, thank you for being on this call. I'm gonna send out the recording to everyone, and we are going to try to hold one more of these for your buck before the recurring billing kicks in. I'm also going to try to pitch this to my list and get some more people on here. So I want to thank all of you for being on here. And Steve, thank you so much for sharing. And those of you, Doug, and the others of you who spoke up, thank you for doing that. Just so you know, the call is recorded. We'll be getting that recording out to you and the others who paid to be on this call. And I just wanted to say thanks to all of you for being on here. We'll see you one more time before the recurring billing kicks in. And if you have any problems on the dashboard, you shouldn't. But if you have any technical issues or something, then go to getyoursupport.com, and we'll try to help you there. So anyway, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you on another call.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marlon.
Bye.
Hey.
Bye-bye.